Hello, everyone. This is Dana Pittman of NEA Promotions Podcast, and I am so excited because today we're posting a special interview early for this new book by Joanna Penn called Pentecost. And I'm excited because she's up at 6 o'clock in the morning, which means she is serious about this book. And I am excited also because this is a religious thriller. So I can't wait to hear what she tells us about this great new book, and it's her debut novel. So Joanna, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Dana. I'm excited to be here.
That's awesome. Now, before I go into the house rules, I would love for you to introduce our listeners to Pentecost.
Okay, so very quickly, I call it a mix of Dan Brown and Lara Croft because it's a sort of, you know, religious thriller, but also has action and adventure with a female protagonist, which is quite different in this genre of writing because normally it's filled with men. So I thought it was about time we had a woman.
Well, everybody, sit back, grab a beverage, enjoy this interview, and most of all, stick around to the end because Joanna has a great contest that is going on today, which is February 7, 2011, and you don't want to miss that. So, Joanna, I would love for you to introduce us to some of the characters that readers are going to interact with in Pentecost.
Okay, so we have Morgan Sierra is the protagonist, and Morgan is a psychologist at Oxford University, and you might be able to tell from my accent, I'm English, and I went to Oxford, so I wanted to blend in a lot of Oxford University into the book because I know a lot of people love reading about that. So Morgan is a psychologist, but she specializes in the psychology of religion, so that's a kind of hint for where the book goes. She's British, but she was brought up in Israel, so she has that military service behind her. And part of that is also my fascination with Israel. I've been there many times, and I wanted to bring that into the book as well. But again, being British, not Israeli, I had to kind of write it from that perspective. But I also wanted her to have military service so that she could use a gun and fight and do all the things that she does in the book. So essentially we see Morgan brought into the story. I guess we'll talk about the story a bit more in a minute. But she's basically really loyal to her family, and after her sister and niece are kidnapped by the bad guys, she has to get into the book and basically search the world and fight to get them back.
Awesome. Now, I wanted them to get an introduction because I felt like some of the differences in Pentecost were important. One, that you have the female that is a heroine in this story, but also the fact that, I guess because I've read Dan Brown, and when you said Dan Brown and Lara Croft, I was like, okay, that's an interesting mix. And as soon as you start the story, it is action packed, like you're already in a chase, and I'm wondering what the heck is going on, you know, as the reader. And so now that you introduce them to Morgan, give us an idea of what the theme of this story, but also what they can expect from the story, because I've read everything that the fact that it's a thriller, it's action packed, a religious thriller, that Joanna has mastered the craft of nonfiction and fiction, and that brings a lot of excitement to the story before we even get a chance to dive into it. So tell the listeners a little bit more about what Pentecost is about and kind of the foundation of the story.
Okay. All right. Well, the whole premise of the story is, but I have a degree in theology, so I love bringing my religion into this type of thing. And I should say also, for Christians listening, it's certainly something that Christians would enjoy. It's not anti-Christian like some people consider Dan Brown. So that's really important, I think, to say up front. But basically, the premise of the story is that when Jesus rose from the dead, the apostles took stones from his tomb as a symbol of their brotherhood. Now, clearly I made that bit up.
Right.
but you know, who's to say that they didn't do something, you know, as you know, men who were bonded in a faith together. So I had a premise that they had these stones that they wore, you know, as symbols. And then on Pentecost, you know, the fires of the Holy Spirit come down and empower the stones around their neck. And then, you know, the book of Acts says that they go and they perform miracles in God's name across the known world at the time. So one of the premises of the book is that these stones then get handed down through keepers across the ages who keep these protected so that, you know, bad guys can't get them, basically. But these stones have a power of their own. And these stones have been kept hidden until now, basically. And the stones have been rediscovered in the present day. And a very bad man is out to get them, and another bad sort of evil fundamentalist sort of agency is out to get them. And in order, Morgan actually has one of these stones, and that's a bit of the backstory. But they come in one of the opening chapters, these bad guys basically come to get her stone. She didn't even know that it was one of these stones. Her father was an archaeologist and handed it down. And then basically the chase starts sort of almost immediately as they kidnap her sister and her niece. And then she basically has to get into the chase to find the stones. She's actually joined by an agency called Arcane, who specialise in sort of religious artifacts and hunt them around the world. And they have a sort of military wing. They're a secret government agency, you know, the people who have lots of money and can help her fly around the world. You know, in a very short time frame to get the stones before the day of Pentecost dawns again, when the evil, you know, guy wants to use the stones to kind of summon the power of God for bad things. So it's a kind of mixed theology there, I guess you could say. But essentially, I love a fast-paced action movie, and I wanted the book to be an equivalent to going to a fast-paced action movie. So instead of, you know, paying your $25 or $15 or whatever it is in Australia to go to the movies, you can buy a book and have, you know, a few hours of excitement and adrenaline as you go through the hunt. So that's why it's fast paced. And yeah, I guess that's a bit about the plot as well.
It is. And I like the way that you have intertwined the action and the religion. Were you worried about that? I know you said that your background is in theology. So were you concerned about mixing, you know, the portion of the Bible that we're aware of and then putting your own spin on it to bring the fiction aspect to it? Were you concerned about that as you were preparing to write the story?
Well, I don't take anything wrongly, I believe. I take the verse of Acts, which is in the front of the book, which is where the fire, you know, the Pentecost verse, where the Holy Spirit comes down onto the apostles. And I just quote that verse at the beginning, and then I use the idea of the stones. There is nothing, obviously nothing in the Bible about the apostles wearing stones. I made that up entirely. So what I always wanted to do was take you know, real theology and real belief, and then on the very edge of that, I wanted to spin a story again that wouldn't be offensive to anybody, but that would still use enough of what people know to make it slightly believable. Because the important thing about a thriller is that you think, wow, this could actually happen, right? This could really be true. And that's important. It's not science fiction, it's not fantasy, it's a thriller. So you're meant to think there's an aspect of truth to it. So I kind of almost leave it up to the reader as to whether there is a power of God there. You know what I mean? It's kind of
right.
I want you to bring your beliefs to the story. And so I that was the aim. I don't want to take something that's gospel truth and twist it.
I understand that. So you have, Morgan, this kind of kick butt, take charge type of woman. How much of you would believe that your characteristics are married into Morgan's character besides the similarity with Oxford?
Oh, well, it's so fun. I mean, I really, you know, she's kind of my fantasy alter ego, I think. You know, she goes around the world and she's visiting, well, I should say we go to lots of different Christian sites because the stones would logically be buried with the bones of the apostles. So we visit Santiago de Compostela in Spain, where the bones of St. James are, and we go to Jerusalem and we go to Rome, you know, where the bones of St. Peter are. So we go around the world. We even go to Iran, you know, and we go everywhere. So I love that. I love traveling, and some of those scenes are written from my memory. So the scene in Jerusalem in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre is written from my own experience. So of course I bring my travels to that. I bring my theology to that. But I have no military training. I can't. I wouldn't win in a fight, so she's certainly a lot harder than me. But what I guess the Lara Croft thing was, I wanted a female character who is a true thriller protagonist, and there has to be some violence in a thriller.
Right.
So she had to be militarily trained. So yeah, that was important. I'm not. I did go and shoot a gun on a shooting range to see what that felt like. But other than that,
well, I want my listeners to know that you have, I would consider, a very strong following in the area of writing and making resources available to authors. And that's how I learned about your website and your podcast. And so I would also like to ask you a little bit about your process of bringing this all together, because you have some people that follow you just because you make a wonderful podcast, which I listen to, and you try to hold the hands of people that want to jump into this world of being an author. So how is it now that you're on the other side? I know you have nonfiction work, but this is your first fiction work. So if you could share a little bit with listeners about what you do in a sense of author assistance and what your journey has been so far now that you are a published fiction writer.
So, yes, so it all started a few years ago when I wrote a book called How to Enjoy Your Job, which is, you know, sort of aimed at helping people change their career and be happy in their work, because I wasn't. So I wrote that book, it changed my life, and then I wanted to get it out there and, you know, get it to people. And I didn't sell any. And I realized that nobody knew who I was in the whole world. And so why would anyone buy my book? And I had tried to get traditional publishing deal, failed as per everything, and decided to self-publish. And yeah, nobody knew who I was. So I started learning about blogging, about Twitter, about podcasting, videos, all of the things that we talk about on an author platform. And I realized as I went that there was information out there, but that I wanted to share how I was doing to save other people time and money, because you can spend a lot of money on these things, but you don't have to. So I started my website, The Creative Pen, with a double N, because my surname is Pen. And I basically started to share what I was learning along the way. And my podcast specifically, I wanted to do in order to learn from other people. So it's very much focused on interviewing people to learn lessons about marketing and publishing and writing. So I pretty much started it to help myself, and then other people found it, and I've been blogging for just over 2 years now, and just sort of got in the top 10 writers' blogs, so that's quite exciting. And yeah, I guess mainly the focus is on sharing my lessons learned so that other people can learn too. And I sell some my own books and courses and things, but I don't actually physically help people myself. I just tell them information so that they can help themselves.
Okay. And so now that you, so it's almost like a full circle. You started off writing a book, and then you decided to then really educate yourself on self-publishing and what resources were available. And now you have written Pentecost, which is now available, which is a fiction book. And so essentially, the Pentecost is where you probably wish you would have been when you wrote your first book. So what are some of the differences that your journey now versus when you first began?
Oh, well, it's totally different. I've just woken up as I got up this morning at 5 a.m. because I'm in Australia. You know, most of your day is when I'm asleep. So today is my launch day of February the 7th, but I'm doing a kind of whole launch week. And what I'm doing first up, a big push, is guest posting on a whole load of blogs. Now, the type of blogs I'm guest posting on, there's some of them are pretty big in not necessarily even in the writing niche. So like ProBlogger is a big blog in general. So to get guest posts on those type of blogs, you kind of have to have a platform already, and you have to have relationships. So most of my guest posts are based on relationships I've been building up over the last 2 years. So don't let anyone tell you all this online stuff is not about relationships, because it totally is. It's about getting to know people and helping other people first. So I've helped a lot of people with their launches, and then when it came to my launch, I've said, oh, by the way, can I do a post on your website? And they've gone, yeah, of course, that's great. Great, we'd love to support you. So that's one thing, is if you have a blog, if you build an author platform, you are in a stronger position to help other people, and later on they'll help you. So it's definitely a very giving community. Secondly, I guess I've been building a big presence myself. So I've got quite a lot of subscribers to my own blog, and quite a lot of followers on Twitter, quite a lot of people on Facebook, you know, the podcast. I've built up these different ways that people can interact with me. And then when I've blogged the whole journey of Pentecost. I started blogging it during NaNoWriMo in 2009, and I did some videos, you know. So you can look back and see my whole journey of the novel, and basically people have followed it across the whole year. So a lot of people were ready to buy it when it came out, just because they followed the whole journey. I did my book cover was voted on by my audience. I had over 500 votes. So those people were ready to buy anyway, just because they're fans. And the ebook's only $2.99. So they're kind of just being really supportive and being really lovely. And I absolutely love my blog audience and love doing it. So that's another thing I'd say to people, you know, a lot of us start doing blogging and podcasting and things for marketing reasons, but we actually end up loving it and doing it because it's fun as well. It's not a chore. It's great fun. So yeah, I guess that the main difference is that I now have an author platform. And so self-publishing for me is kind of it's a first choice at the moment, because I know as a first time fiction author, I'll get nowhere in the publishing industry. So I thought, rather than get rejected and wait however many years to get my book out there, I'm going to put my book out there, and then I'm going to get evidence of sales, and then I'll approach publishing houses later on with evidence that I actually have sales and a following. So it's a kind of reverse tactic.
Oh, it is. That's what they always say. You're turning it on its head. You've reversed. And what you're saying now kind of leads into my next question, which is, you are having a really big push this week, but particularly today. So I would love for you to explain to listeners, first of all, you've already mentioned that you can get the book on Kindle for $2.99, which is awesome. And you don't have to have a Kindle to get it. So I'm saying this mainly for our listeners, because now Amazon makes the platform available where you can even read the book on your computer at no download the platform for no charge. So you could just buy the book for $2.99 and read it, whether it's on your cell phone or on your computer. But also, you're having a wonderful contest that people can enter into if they buy the book today. So if you could share that with the listeners, I would love to hear it again, and I'm sure they would like to know, especially with the $2.99 price tag. I mean, I don't want to keep saying that, but I thought that was great. So if you could explain to people, you know, the contest, and then also where they can go and find it, because you also have the print edition that's available for purchase as well today.
Yeah. So basically the ebook and the print book. The print book is $8. Obviously, there'll be shipping on the print book. But I wanted to make the price as accessible as possible because I'm a new author and I don't want people, you know, to think, oh, that's too pricey, you know. So they're both, you know, pretty much as cheap as you can go on these things. So the launch is today, 7th of February, and although, of course, the book's on sale in general. So if you're listening to this after that, no worries. But if you buy it today and email me the receipt to joanna@thecreativepen.com, pen with a double N, you'll basically go in the draw to win a brand new Kindle and also Amazon vouchers. So if you've got a Kindle already, I can give you Amazon vouchers, so don't worry about that. And I also have some Amazon vouchers for other prizes. So yeah, basically the book's available on Amazon.com and .co.uk if anyone's listening from there, and will be pretty much everywhere in the next couple of weeks. But I'm mainly doing a push, and you'll understand this as a promotional lady. Amazon works on rankings, and in order to go up the rankings, you have to have a certain number of sales in a certain period. So if you sell 200 books in an hour, you can rocket up the charts, even if you don't sell any more that whole day. So the idea of a push like this is to kind of help me go up the charts and make more of an impact, which as an independent author can be quite difficult. So I'm doing pretty well already. I think I'm at number 24 in the religious fiction section. So that's already an Amazon bestseller in that category. So that's quite exciting. So I hope if people are interested, they'll go and have a look at that and email me the receipt.
That is awesome. So because I know we are not going to keep you too long and it's early in the morning. Now that you look at the fact that you've done this release and it's available right now, and I want to say the title again, that is Pentecost by Joanna Penn with two N's, and now that you're preparing and it's out there, how are you feeling and how does that differ from before? Because if you released the book before and you were really excited about it and nothing happened, and now you've done this release and you can already see a visible difference, which is, okay, you're on the rankings mm-hmm. on Amazon and now this is just kind of a big difference between the two releases. How are you feeling now that you've had your first book and you already have reviews, which I read through almost all of them, and people are really excited about it. And not only are they excited about it, they were excited enough to put reviews that are really favorable. And how does that make you feel?
Well, it's really funny because I said to my husband last night, you know, I'm feeling almost sick about this. I mean, in terms, what's different is now that there are people, now I'm really kind of, and just being honest with you and your listeners, I'm a little bit scared. Because I, you know, before it was, I didn't have anybody and there wasn't any criticism and there wasn't any pain points. This time I've had, I've had a stack of wonderful, wonderful reviews, but I'm inevitably starting to get criticism. And hey, none of us all like the same books, right? We all like different books, and I'm totally expecting some people won't like my book. That's okay. But it's so funny because I've kind of, it's almost like sticking your head above the parapet, you know, you're kind of, I'm here, you know, here's my book, please tell me about it, you know, or you don't have to tell me about it, but it's kind of like I'm really putting it out there now. And we talk about the author platform thing, but really having a blog, being on Twitter, all these things, you know, people don't really attack you for that, but then they start, people have a bit of a go at you if they don't like your book. So I guess part of me is really excited because the other thing I was really scared about until I got up this morning was that I wouldn't sell any at all. But that's going really well. So I'm just being really honest with you guys. You know, it's kind of the first morning of the launch, but I think you appreciate that. You know, first time author, it's always going to be a scary process. And I've talked to some other authors and they say it's like this every single book. You worry if anyone's going to buy it, and then you're happy with the good reviews and you're kind of scared of the bad reviews. And but yeah, the big difference is now I have an audience. I definitely have made some sales, so it's going well so far. And I'm definitely going to start writing the next book, which is called Prophecy. And there will be a series with Morgan and Arcane, and each one will look at different kind of religious mysteries, I guess, or things that we are interested in. You know, spiritual people are kind of interested in reading this type of thing.
Well, I think what you're saying is true. I had that experience, and I'm still having that experience with my fiction book. It just, I call it being very vulnerable. Mm. And all you can do is do the best that you can, and you look over it and you read over it, and then once it's out of your hand, it's literally out of your hand. One of the things that I loved that you did, and you talked a little bit about the relationships that you have created over the past 2 years with your blog, but one of the things that I would love for you to touch upon right now is how you decided to launch your fiction book utilizing that platform. Because that's how we scheduled this interview. You know, you kind of opened it up like, hey, I need your help. And so if you could talk a little bit about that, and then we will wrap it up by telling them a little bit more about where they can find your book and find you. Mm-hmm. So the first question is first, which is, you know, talk a little bit about how you decided to do this launch, utilizing those relationships. And you've done this with others as well, because I'm one of them, but you have a lot of people that have come aboard to help you with this launch, which I loved.
Yeah. Well, I guess I started planning it about 3 months ago. So I decided on the date, and I basically started to contact some of the people that I've been talking to over the last couple of years. So again, you know, I mainly build relationships on Twitter. So I'm a huge Twitter user. It's totally not a waste of time if you use it properly. And I'm at The Creative Pen if anyone's interested. So I have created relationships with people on Twitter that have then moved on to email, and then I've interviewed people on my podcast. And as you know, if you talk to somebody for half an hour, you have a connection with them, and you have almost, you know, a mini friendship, I guess you could say. And if somebody emails you after you've been talking on the phone, you know who they are and all of that. So what I basically did was target the blogs that I wanted to be on. So for example, Write to Done, I have a guest article on there. That's a very big blog for writers. Pro Blogger, I mentioned. You know, some of the other sites, Lateral Action is one for creatives. You know, I've got ones all over the place today and this whole week. Part of that also came from the top 10 writers blogs, and that came from working pretty hard on my platform for the last 2 years. So this isn't a fluke, as you said. This is about me working hard for the last 2 years on my platform and now leveraging that platform to launch the book. So then I basically just contacted everyone, and I've been writing and writing and writing. I've written about 25 guest articles, I think, and I've done a number of interviews, video interviews, I've done a book trailer, you know, I've been doing all of these things for the book promotion aspect, and I've been preparing that for around 3 months. And what I will be doing is putting together a author 2.0 book launch free ebook in the next few months that will talk about how I did it and what was successful. So for example, I'm trying things like Facebook advertising. So I'll actually, you know, with a very small budget, to see how that works. I'm also doing Kindle Nation, which is, you know, a paid sponsorship on a Kindle Nation blog. So I've combined free marketing with paid advertising, so I will be sharing with people how that's actually worked, because I really believe that we can all help each other by sharing what happened. And I'm a very truthful person, you know, if I wasn't selling any books, I would totally tell you. but I want other people to know what's successful, because this is a changing market. It's an exciting time. You know, ebooks are really taking off. authors can be independent and be successful. We've seen that on people like Joe Conrath's blog, Amanda Hocking, who's like 6 books in the top 100 Kindle books. She's selling like 100,000 books a month. You know, there's people doing this stuff, and currently I'm not quite up there with them, but you know, I'm aiming to be, and I'm sure some of your audience is as well. You know, we'd all love to sell 100,000 books on the Kindle now, wouldn't we?
Yeah, and I think the other thing is it's showing that it's room to learn, there's room to grow, and it also levels the playing field that it was unlike any other time before. So really, it's about being current and staying tapped in, and I think that's one of the great things about blogs like yours is because it keeps people tapped in. Everyone can't be, you know, tapped into these different places 24 hours a day. So you really got to have those go-to sites that you can trust what's being said, and you know they're being 100% real with you. And that's one of those things that I love about your blog. And so before we get ready to sign off, I would love for you to once again let people know how they can get in contact with you. So your website, and you did mention your Twitter location, but that's all on your website too for the listeners. And then also where they can, you know, how they follow up with you about the purchase of their ebook or book so that they're entered into the drawing for the Kindle or the Amazon vouchers.
Okay, so my website is thecreativepen.com with a double N, and I'm at thecreativepen with a double N on Twitter and also on Facebook. If you buy the book today, as we said, from amazon.com or amazon.co.uk or any of the Amazons, it should be on all of them, then just email me the receipt to Joanna, that's Joanna, at thecreativepen.com, and or you can hit me up on Twitter or whatever if you have any questions. And but of course, if you're listening after February the 7th, you can still buy the book. It just won't be in that special draw. So yes, I guess that's everywhere.
Now, I hope this is my last question. You did briefly mention that you are prepared for the fall, the next book, which is Prophecy. And so have you already in your mind determined how long you want this series to carry out? Or are you going to take it one book at a time, gauging your audience as far as how long we will get to hang in there with Morgan?
Well, I have Prophecy kind of plotting out in my head. I also have Pilgrim, which is, I'm kind of got a P theme going, you probably noticed. Pilgrim also I have in my mind as well as possibly the third book. I like the, you know, I think the most successful authors, the ones who make a full-time good living from writing, have a character that has a series. So for example, Lee Child's Jack Reacher, you know, you've got Patricia Cornwell, you know, all these people who write a lot of books. You know, Patricia Cornwell's got like 26 books in her series with her forensic lady, and basically that's my model. I would like to develop a character over the long term. That doesn't mean I won't write other things, but I would really like to have that series that people get into and like, because I think that's important for creating a living as a writer, which is what I would love to do. And then I will obviously write other things as well, or spin-offs or whatever. But I guess I should say as well, you know, I used to think that you had to write literary fiction to be accepted as an author, and that stopped me writing for sort of 20 years probably. And then I realized that what I love is religious thrillers. That's what I love to read, and then that's why I decided to write them. So I guess how I feel now is there's nothing wrong with writing what you love to read. Absolutely nothing wrong with it. If you love reading romances, write a romance, you know. There's nothing wrong with that. Just because other people don't like them, it doesn't matter. There's a massive market for romance. There's not such a massive market for religious thrillers, but that's what I love to read, and that's what I love to write. So I guess that's why I have more of them in my head. It's almost like the floodgates are open, and now I can investigate all these different cool spiritual religious mysteries through fiction, and I can go back and I can do research. So for example, just on prophecy, I'm looking at neurotheology, which is how the brain works, and the kind of the science of belief, the science behind belief, which is just fascinating. So I'm going to bring that side into the next book and continue to investigate these kind of interesting religious mysteries.
Well, you remind me of myself. Whenever I get like that, I realize that I'm such a nerd and that I love books.
You calling me a nerd?
No, why would I do that? But I want to say that I wish you well, and I've enjoyed this interview, and I hope that people, whether they do it on February 7th or they do it the 8th, 10th, or in 2015, you know, that they have an opportunity to read this book because, one, I loved the pacing, and I'm going to let my listeners know that I am going to write a review, but I love the pacing, and I also love the idea that you had to get over your own personal barriers that you put, whether it had to be literary fiction or I have to write in this particular area, to show that with this market opening up, you really can do what you love and do it in a way that you love. And sometimes there are little bitty quirks, you know, if you got to tap in to social media or tap into readers that love that area of reading, it's possible. And you don't have to wait for someone's permission to do it. And so I love that. And before we sign off, is there anything else that you would love for readers to know about Pentecost and why they should get their copy right now?
Right now.
Right now.
Well, as I said, if you like sort of fast-paced action movie style thrillers and you're interested in the sort of religious and psychological side of things, I think you'll really enjoy the book. And there's a book trailer on YouTube as well, so people can go and have a look at that. That gives you a real idea of what the book's about. So yeah, or just if you're not interested in the book but you just want to learn about how I've done the marketing, you can come over to thecreativepen.com and I'll be sharing all of that in the coming weeks.
Awesome. Well, I am going to, first of all, thank Joanna for allowing me to read an advanced copy of the book. Thank you all for listening to this interview. And you can visit us at neapromotionspodcast.com. I will have all of the information of how you can enter into the drawing, as well as the different locations of where you can purchase your copy of Pentecost. Joanna, I hope that this is not the last time that we do an interview, and that that I can read more of your work again soon.
Thanks so much for having me.
You're welcome, and good luck on your launch today.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Goodbye.